Am I on? All right. I'm fired up. I'm very excited. In fact, I might be so excited that I might try out some slam poetry today. I've been writing some things that I feel real good about. If that's all right, I'd like to try that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That was cool last week, though. You missed it. You missed it. Sorry. My name is Jeremy Kubitschek. I'm a house church pastor, and I'm a regular bloke. I'm just a normal, average Joe. I'm a business guy. I've got my wife and three kids, and we lead a house church, and it's very fun to be here. Very excited to share I'm so glad to be here because, as you'll see in my story, there was a chance that I might not have been here in September, and so it's kind of nice to be alive, and so I'll say amen to that for myself. How many of you have seen the movie Signs? You know, Mel Gibson, keep them up. I'm just kind of getting an idea. Okay, for you that haven't seen Signs, I'm going to run the movie for you, part of it. And you've had enough time, it's your fault that you haven't seen it. So I'm just going to state it's your fault, and I'm sorry, because I'm going to run a few parts. But you remember Mel Gibson? Well, yeah, the girls are like, oh, yeah. Remember Mel Gibson? Anyway, Mel Gibson is named Graham Hess, which is a good Iowa name, right? Graham Hess, that's a good corn name. And Graham and his brother Merrill, which is another good corn name, live on this corn farm in Iowa. And they have this cool house and all this land and stuff. And they start seeing these crop circles. You know, how many of here have done crop circles? No, I'm kidding. But you saw this movie, and it basically was really not about aliens, even though that's kind of what happened, right? These aliens start coming and visiting, and then they start coming all over the cities. Now, do you remember the scene when Graham and Merrill, when Mel Gibson and his brother are sitting on the couch, and they're looking at the TV screen, and they see all these aliens that are just about to just conquer all the cities and take over, and there's this hopeless feeling in the air. Do you remember that? And you remember the part, and you realize that he's a widower. His wife had passed away, and I'll share a little bit about it. I'll give that away, too. In a minute. And so they're sitting there on the couch, and you could just feel it. And Mel Gibson used to be a pastor. He was a minister at one point. And so it was really, it was a question for his brother, who was really never, he wasn't with the Lord, never was not a believer, it didn't seem like. He had a wild life. And his brother asked, Graham, is there hope? I mean, like, is anyone in control, really? I mean, is God in control, or does everything just happen? Is it just random events that happen? And that was his question to him. He was looking for hope, and he didn't have any. And so Mel Gibson goes, well, the easy answer is yes. There is hope, and God is in control, and everything has a purpose. But then he said, but I don't believe that anymore. And that you could just feel the room, just like the darkness, the hopelessness. He said, I don't believe that anymore. And it was just like, oh, okay, so now what? I'm going to just let the aliens come attack us. Who cares? It's hopeless. Well, he goes on later in the movie and explains that the reason that he didn't, his world got rocked. His foundation got rocked. The reason he didn't believe that God was in control any longer was because he watched his wife get killed. And you remember that part when he watches his wife and he goes and talks to her when she's still alive? She had been in an accident or a car had hit her. And he sees her die. And because of that, it rocked his world. It shook him to such the core that he even took his cross off the wall. He took his minister's robe off or whatever. I think he was Episcopal or whatever. And he basically said, I'm not a minister. I don't want to talk about it. I don't believe. I'm confused. I don't know if God is in control. Well, I'm giving it away. At the end of the movie, he puts his collar back on and it shows that he does believe that God is in control. And the truth is that God is in control. The truth is that God is in control, and that everything has a purpose, and that he can do anything he wants to do. Later in that movie, just to finish giving it away, the good parts, there was a part where, how many of you have asthma? I don't know, you know, just, how many of you have asthma attacks, and it might be really bad, it might not be so bad. But in this part, his little boy had asthma, and he had an asthma attack, and to slow him down, he kept saying, son, breathe, breathe, breathe. And he was trying to just mimic his breath and slow him down. You guys remember that? You might have had to do that. I'm not sure. I've not experienced that. But it was so impactful, this part of this movie. And all these instances, and seeing this little boy basically healed, or this little boy, it really kind of reminded him that God is in control and that God can do anything he wants to do. And so that's the part about signs. But so you and I, we're sitting on our couch right now, right? We're sitting on a couch, and we're flipping the TV, and we see a suicide bomber in Israel blow up some more people every day. We're getting used to it, are we not? There's another bus bombing or something crazy. There's an impending war with Iraq. There is a guy named Osama bin Laden, and he's out there somewhere. And the world is a terrorist, and the economy, and the blah, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. And there's all these things. And we're looking, to some degree, just things we've never, ever seen or noticed before. Is God in control? And does everything happen for a reason? And is he in control at the end of the day? Those are some of the same questions that we can ask ourselves. I mentioned the truth is that God is in control, which is true. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. And I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Let me get a few more amens on that. My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Thank you. God is in control. God is in control, and he can do anything that he wants to do. Anything. Jeremiah 32, 27. "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" My God has muscles. My daddy's big. He's real big. He's got strong muscles. And he can do anything that he wants to do. It's proven. I don't need to stand here and convince you today. History convinces us of that. The sky convinces us of that. Nature. But today I want to share with you what convinces me of that even further. And that's a little bit about myself. And I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable because I'm going to share the story that happened to us. My wife and I, Kelly, and our good friends, Ryan and Karma Litz, needed a break. We had been house church pastors for a little over a year. We had our third child, about to start a new business. We just needed a break. So we took a four-day weekend. We went down to Cancun, down to the Mayan Peninsula, and had a nice four-day vacation. Well, I should say it started off being a nice four-day vacation. And as we're there, we happened to run into a very large lady named Hurricane Isidore. And she happened to come the same time that we did. We didn't know that we booked it on the same time, the same vacation, but evidently she likes the Mayan Peninsula of Mexico as much as we did, and so we met her there. And on our third day, they started boarding up all the walls and doors at our resort, right? So they're boarding it all up, and so we're thinking, okay, this could be serious. Okay. But one, I didn't realize how close Cuba and Mexico, like the Yucatan Peninsula, are, and so I just put it out of my mind, but it was coming. So I asked these are Mexican, you know, the Mexicans, what are you expecting? "Oh, senor, there'll be very windy, senor." How windy? "Very windy." Okay, what's windy? 50 to 70 miles per hour. And I'm thinking, that's Oklahoma in March. That's April. That's 50 to 70. So we kind of blew it off. We're like, okay, great. Now we know what their standards were on windiness. So we decided to, then we saw them taking down all the fan blades. They were unscrewing all the fans. I'm like, they took everything down. I guess they didn't want anyone impaled by a fan blade or anything. So we knew, they thought it was serious. So we knew also that we would probably miss our charter flight. And we did because, you know, in a charter flight, there's only one way, one plane in and one plane out. And there happened to be a massive hurricane in the midst of that, in the middle of it. So we missed our flight, and so we had a choice. Do we stay at this boarded up place with no ceiling fans, or do we go into Cancun? And so we chose to go into Cancun, you know, shop, do all the tourist stuff, and then we ate dinner, and then we went to a movie. What movie did we see? Yeah, all right, man, you guys are good. So we went to see Signs, and that's where all the fun began, September 21st or something of this year. And so we're coming out of it, and it was one of those movies that, I love movies like that, that makes you think, you know, it's just like you walk out and you're just thinking and churning, and you're constantly putting all these thoughts in your head. And so we're on our way to the taxi. In fact, David, why don't you put our first picture up for me, would you? Here's the first picture, 15 minutes before our wreck. And I gave it away. Obviously, we're going to be in a wreck. Right now, you don't know that, but in 15 minutes, we will be. So here we are, right after the movie, right? I'm carrying this. You can tell that I'm carrying what my wife bought that day. And amazingly, everything, it's a nativity set, and it survives, which is amazing, too. But anyway, that's 15 minutes before that. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. Hold off for just a moment. So here we are. We're going in a taxi back to our hotel, 15-minute ride. And as I'm thinking about this, and I'm asking the Lord, I feel like God was asking me, Jeremy, what would you do if this happened to you? The same thing that happened to Mel Gibson's wife. You know, Jeremy, is God in control? Am I in control? And can I do anything I want to? What would you do if something happened? And so I'm actually processing it. What would happen if, how would I respond if I'm in a wreck? How would I respond if Kelly, something happened to her, if she was killed or my kids? What would I do? Would I really have faith? Or would I take my cross off my wall? Would I take my cross off my wall? And would I just go into become a cynical man? And as we're getting closer, I'm thinking of it. And there was one moment about halfway there where I internally, inside, I was like, yes, I will believe in you, Lord. If anything happens to my wife, to anyone, I will believe in you. You are in control. You can do anything you want, and I will trust you. And that cross is staying on that wall. That cross is staying in my house. It's who I am. It's my foundation, and you are my rock, no matter what happens. Seconds later, we were talking, and I remember turning back to kind of answer a question that was asked or raised. And as soon as I did, I hear my wife in the background. She screams out, no, no, no! And as soon as that happened, this boom, just right to the side, like her car was hit by a drunk driver, going 40 miles an hour, ran the stop sign, went right in the side of our car, nailed me from the side. And as soon as it hit, it luckily hit me and not Kelly and Ryan. They suffered a lot of bruises, but lucky that most of the impact happened right at my door. And when it hit me, it bruised my liver, it bruised my hip, it pushed me into the taxi driver's seat, and it broke several ribs in the back, ribs in the front, internal bleeding, all types of things. As I'm sitting here, and the first thing I'm thinking of is, I'm paralyzed, and then am I alive? Am I dead? Am I dying? So I'm feeling for my feet, I'm feeling for my toes, and I can wiggle my toes. Thank you, Lord. I can wiggle my toes. I mean, I'm processing it like slow motion, just this slow. And I remember seeing lights, and I remember seeing all the glasses broken out. And I'm thinking, am I just bleeding? You know, what's going on? And as soon as I was hit, this awful, awful pain, this awful scream came out of me. Just this, and just like a death scream. It was unbelievable. It scared me for 2 weeks afterwards. I couldn't even talk about it, really. And so as I'm sitting there in the car, I'm asking these questions. Is this it, Lord? I can't believe this is it. Is this it? And I look down kind of slowly, and I notice, I don't want to freak anyone out here, but my chest was popped out. Like it expanded out. It had been like crushed to some degree, but it was popped straight out in a kind of a V. And I remember looking down, and I remember my breath just starting to fade. And I'm sitting in this hurricane, in this taxi cab, hit by a drunk driver, and my breath just started. And I remember breathing like my last breath. I remember breathing like that. And the whole time, my awesome friends are praying what we saw in the movie. Lord, help him breathe. Help him breathe. Help him breathe. Help him breathe. It wasn't me breathe, Jeremy breathe. It was, Lord, give him breath. Give him breath. Give him breath. And at that moment, I'm sitting there thinking, it was my last breath. And the first, it had three thoughts that hit me. One, was I a good father? Was I a good daddy? Two, was I a good husband? And then the most important one was, Lord, was I yours? Was I completely yours? I mean, was I yours, Lord? I remember asking that. And I remember going, this can't be it. Is this it? This is the end of my life. I didn't have any, I didn't see my, you know, third grade teacher. I didn't go through my whole life. But what I did was sit there, and I was in so much pain. And then I heard the sweetest thing ever. I heard what my wife would say if she thought I was dying, and her response to me, and it was beautiful. And so here I am. I just seconds earlier said, "Lord, if anything happens to me, if I'm in a wreck or anything, I will trust in you. You're in control, and you can do anything that you want to do. Anything. Here's my chance to prove that." Prayers kept being prayed. Breathe. Lord, help him to breathe. Help him to breathe. And all of a sudden, just this breath came in. Life. I wasn't gone. I literally, breath came in. The pain didn't go away, but the breath was there. All that breath did was it allowed me to scream even louder that my back was killing me. But I had new life. The Lord had saved me. He had saved the day. He had saved me. Obviously, it's an impact. It's emotional. It's hard to go through every time I tell a story. But the point of it is that point. I could have been so much worse. I could have been paralyzed. My chest was popped out, as I mentioned. A number of different things that happened that were just very, very tough. But the whole time, God was my rock. He was in control, and he can do whatever he wanted to do. And he decided to heal me at that point. He honored prayers. He honored my faith. And my faith rose up. It rose up to the degree of saying, "You can do anything, Lord. You can do anything you want to." I was taken there from there to a hospital and just a very bumpy ambulance on a piece of plywood. It was awful. But anyway, Mexican hospitals are not that much fun. I'm just telling you that up front. So if you can avoid them, go ahead and avoid them. And so if you can take up the next slide, here we are 1 hour after the accident. So here I am, one, carrying this bag of shopping stuff around. Here I am an hour later, and my photogenic wife, if you can see her, is smiling. But she was banged up as well, and praise the Lord, she didn't have any broken bones or anything, and she was released that next day. And so here I sat, and at this point, many of you come into the picture, because many of you started praying for me at that point. And many of you knew of the situation that I was in, and it was kind of going around the buzz. Well, about an hour or two after this happened, this picture, my blood pressure started falling. It started falling from 130, 120, 110, 100. And they started checking it, and I was turning white, and they thought it was internal bleeding, and they said, "We need to do surgery now." And when I hear in a Mexican hospital, "We need to do surgery now," I go, "No, no, I want my kidneys. Please, please, I want my kidneys." In fact, I had to come home and be confirmed by my doctor that they were still there. I was just like, kind of freaked out about that. And so, hear too many stories. And so, as we're there, it's falling. And the doctor said, "We need to do, no, seriously, you don't understand. We need to do surgery now." And you want to talk about faith? Here's faith. Carmel Litz and Ryan, that were there, they said, "No, we've not prayed yet. We've not prayed yet. Let's pray." So they start praying. They start praying, "Lord, give him 120 over 80. 120 over 80. And I'm watching going, "Yeah, 120 over 80, Lord. Check it again. Come on, check it again." And I remember pointing to this guy, and the doctor was like, "No, we'll not check it again." I'm like, "Check it again." Put my arm up here. He checks it. Everyone say it with me. What was it? God is a good God. He can do anything he wants to do. We prayed. Let me just read a scripture to you. 1 John 5:14-15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." We knew it. Our faith was rising. Our hope was rising. Our trust in our daddy was getting more and more confirmed, that he can do anything he wants to do. That next day, I took x-rays, had another battle come up. They'd look at it. They say, "There's no way. This guy is full of internal bleeding. His intestines are severed." You know, that's not a good thing to hear. And you're thinking, okay, what does that mean? You know, intestines are severed. Just doesn't sound good. You know, you don't want them to fix it. And then you're like short a little bit, so you're always walking like this. So You know that they, you know, intestines are like, what, 40 miles long or whatever they are. But anything severed is not good in your body. And so, but at this point, there was faith enough that we said it was just right. We said, okay, let's do surgery. They said it was 95% chance that that he has internal bleeding and will need surgery. 5% chance that nothing's happened and we'll just go in and look and he's fine. Again, this is where you started praying again, Bridgeway. And this is where the faith came back, and we're there. I get out of the surgery, and you know what? The 5% becomes 100%. The 5% becomes 100%, and the 0.001% becomes 100% with the Lord. He walks out, and the doctor was just like, "I don't know." And Ryan was like, "What do you mean? What happened?" And he said, "Well, he's fine." "What do you mean he's fine? You said 95%. He's fine. I mean, he's nothing there. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Three times in a row. Three times. I get home and I go through one more round. They found just to make sure I have my kidneys, like I said, and to make sure everything else is okay. And they go in and they find one more rib broken. And they find that my pancreas is all inflamed. It got ticked off, I guess, in the process. And it was all enraged, they said. And so an enraged pancreas is not fun either. So I go to the doctor to do the CAT scan, and they said, "We need you to have you back to do more tests." I come here, and a wonderful brother who knows his name came up to me and basically said, "Jeremy, you will be completely restored. Don't worry about it. You'll be completely restored." Okay, so I've already been through giving breath, 120 over 80. I've already not had this severed intestines. And so what does that do? My faith just skyrockets. Okay, yes, Lord. I believe that. I go back the next week. They do all these other tests, and they're like, "Man, I don't know. It's gone." You have God now. Can he do anything he wants to do? Is he in control? Yes. The fruit of the accident was amazing. The fruit of the accident is even here today. I would go through this tomorrow for all that has happened because of it. In the lives of Ryan and Carmel, I mean, they were bystanders. They saw more of this than I did because I was out of it most of the time. But they saw, and their faith just rose up because they know that God can do anything he wants to do. My wife, my family, my parents came down there. We saw an angel, that's another story, that came and ministered to us. Came right into our room and just blessed us and said, "I was sent here to bless you." Faith was unbelievable. And so when we know that God is in control, we know that he can do anything that he wants to do, and he does it, that increases our faith and our hope and our trust in the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that's too powerful and too difficult for him. He can do anything he wants to do. We came home and we received so many blessings, so many gifts from people. We had a beautiful couple in this church give us a plane trip back home to help us get out of there earlier and easier. It was beautiful. And so I read these scriptures to you now as it turns into... Oh, show them the next picture. Sorry. A couple of others here. This is a Mexican hospital. The next picture is the view from the Mexican hospital. Never have to be in a Mexican hospital. That's a side note. Side plot, side sermon. Never be in a Mexican hospital. Okay. John 14, 12 through 14. Now listen to this, because now it's your time. I want to ask you, there might be a few doubting Thomases out here who say, "You know what? I believe Jesus, but I don't believe everything. There's some parts in the Bible I just can't believe, or I don't think that happens anymore. I think that happened at one time, and I believe that, but I think that ceased." Well, if God, Hebrews 13:8, never changes, yesterday, today, tomorrow, he's always the same. And if he can create me, and if he can take me to heaven, then why couldn't he give me a little bit of breath? Why couldn't he have just reached down to Jay Martin and heal his stomach? Cannot God do that? I mean, let's take the shackles off of God. Let's take the limits off of God. God can do anything He wants to do, and we're His creation. Job 38 through 42, Job's sitting there, and he's basically, you know, if you don't know, read it, Job 38 through 42. But he's basically in misery, and he's been questioning God and saying things, and God says, "Where were you, O man? Where were you when I made the foundations of the world? When I made the heavens and the seas, where were you? I am the God. I am in control." And whenever Job realized it, his first thing he said was, "God, I repent. I repent. And I know now, I know that you can do all things. I know that you can do it." And so when we have those kind of situations with God, we've got to respond. How are you responding to my story? Is there a little bit of doubt in your mind? Jesus came to Thomas and he said, "Okay, now here you go. Here I am. Look at my nail-scarred hands. Look at my side." Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Believe. Are we not called believers? But we don't believe everything of God? We don't believe He can do everything? John 14, 12 through 14. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." A promise from the Lord. "He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm convinced, Bridgeway, that the Church of America, and I'm convinced our church, we've been talking about how there's so much more. And I'm not talking about name it and claim it, because we've gotten a stigma over time where we've seen name it and claim it, and we've kind of gotten like, "Oh, that's kind of weird," or that's... And I grew up in that camp. And I have always doubted different things. And I was looking so much at man that I put shackles on God. And God says, "Strip it all away. I don't care what you call it. I call it my normal everyday living. I'm Jesus. I'm the King. I'm the one who can go and put mud on some guy's eyes and heal him. I'm the one who can go over here and raise Lazarus from the dead. And a little girl, I can pick her up and raise her from the dead when everyone else was laughing at me. While you're laughing at me, I can do it. I'm the man, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the one who can fill Peter and John to walk over to a man and stretch out his arm and heal a beggar. Or I can help Paul heal Eutychus, who fell off a three-story loft, fell straight dead. Paul gets up and picks him up because of Jesus Christ." We know that Philip did it. We know that disciples did it. We know that J. Martin was healed. We know that I was saved and healed. So I ask, church, can we believe? Can our faith arise a little bit more? Can our faith arise to the fact that we say, "Lord, I will take off the shackles that I put on you. I will take off the shackles that I put around me too, Lord. And I know that you can heal me. I know that you can heal my broken heart. You can heal my broken relationships. I know that you can heal my soul. And I know that you can heal my back, my stomach problems. You are bigger than I've given you credit for. You're bigger, God." I want you to ask this question to yourself. Can God do anything that He wants to do? And answer it to yourself. Just take a moment. Can God do anything that He wants to do? Is there anything too hard for God? Tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to the mountain, "Go throw yourself into the sea," and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. To end on this, there was a story in Mark 9. Do you remember the time when this man brought his son to Jesus, and his son had epilepsy or something, and he kept saying it was a demon that was throwing him into the fire, and he would foam at the mouth. And he was wanting the healing, and the disciples tried to heal him at that moment. And Jesus came and said, "Oh, unbelieving generation," in Mark 9. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around, and he foamed at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has he been like this? And the father says, he's been like this since childhood. Oftentimes it's thrown him into the water or the fire to try to kill him. And here's what the boy's father asked Jesus. He said, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. In verse 23, Jesus says, and it can be sarcastic the way he says it. I'm sure it was. If you can, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. Everything. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief, Lord. Here's what happened. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And the spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently, and it came out, and the boy looked like a corpse. They were saying he was dead. But Jesus, he just took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Can I get a yahoo? Huh? Can Jesus not do anything he wants to do? And so here we are, folks. I'm just going to ask that in a moment, we're going to have a time of ministry. And I'd like the ministry team here in a little bit just to come up, and I'll tell you kind of when. But the question is this. Can Jesus do anything he wants to do? And what are we asking Jesus for? Two different things. I believe that there is a spirit of unbelief that God wants to heal. And what that looks like is something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you, Lord. I'm so sorry for doubting you, Lord. You are bigger. You are bigger than I've ever given you credit for. You are bigger than I think, bigger than I know. You are bigger, and you can do anything you want, Lord. Forgive me of my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief, Lord. Take it away. Take it away. There are some out there that are like doubting Thomas. And to that, I'd say the scripture, stop doubting and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. That's what Jesus said. And there are some of you out there that need healing physically and spiritually and broken relationships and in the soul. And so I'm going to ask you to do something today. I really feel like the Lord has said, has given us faith to believe. And so what I want to ask you to do is if you have something that you know of that you want healing from, I'd ask for you to reach out in faith and to believe that everything is possible for him who believes. And I'd ask for you to stand up in a moment, and I want you to stretch out your hands, and I want you to stretch to the Lord. And as you stretch to God to meet you, he says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Expect God to come and meet with you. Draw near to God to the degree, then ask him, Lord, come to me, come to me. And allow him to come and touch you. Allow him to come and love on you. And then after that, we'll have a time of ministry. So ministry team, if you could come on up and put those up. And I'm just going to just pray right now. And pray for those who might have an issue of belief. Let's pray for that right now. Dear Jesus, we come to you and we claim that you are King of Kings and that you're Lord of Lords. That you can walk on water. You can calm a storm. You can send demons out with a shriek. You can come in power. You can do anything that you want to do. Lord, we pray we would not limit you any longer. Lord, we pray that you would just come in your power. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would blow across this congregation. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come in power and that you would come and give us the spirit of faith, Lord. Give us faith. Give us belief, Lord God. We are believers in the Son of God, Jesus, who was raised from the dead. And we believe, Lord God. We believe. So forgive us of our unbelief, Father. Forgive us of our unbelief. Come and heal, Lord, now. Please come and heal for your glory. For this is all about you. This whole time is all about you. It's all about you, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you'd fall afresh on us, Lord. you'd fall afresh on us. Now just ask for those who want healing, who have desired healing for their body, for ailments, for physical healing, who have emotional healing, for broken relationships, if you would stand right now. If you would stand. And you're standing in faith. You're not standing for anyone else. But you're standing in faith and you're reaching out your hands to Jesus. And He's reaching down to you. He says, draw near to me, my child. Draw near to me. And I'll draw near to you. Holy Spirit, heal. Come in healing. Come in healing right now, Father. Bring your healing. Bring your touch, your sweet touch of mercy. We believe you can do anything that you want to do. We come in faith, Lord. May our faith arise, Lord. And in those days when we're weary and in the days that we're not hearing from you, may you restore our faith. And may you rise it up. And Lord, may we be yours and may we know and believe. May we believe you, Jesus, that you can do anything that you want. And Lord, we ask that you would do it right now. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do it. And as we stretch out, that even as we stretch out, that healing would take place. As we stretch our hands forward, that you would heal us. That you would show mercy on us, Lord. You would show grace to us. You would show grace to us, Lord. Touch our hands, Lord. Touch our hands. Touch our hands. Come in power, Holy Spirit, now. Power, come. Come, Father, fall afresh on us. We are your children and we love you, and you receive the glory and honor. You are beautiful, Lord Jesus. You're beautiful. You are in control. You are in control. So pray out right now, church. Just pray. Just pray. Prayers that are in your heart. Prayers that are on your lips. Pray and have the freedom to ask Jesus. Believe Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. The ministry team, I'd ask that you come up. Come on up. On this side, I'd ask on your right, my left, that people would come for healing. If you want to come up and pray, that we would be here. And I say, bless you. Blessings on you. Ridgeway. Blessings on you. Over here, I'd ask, if anyone has a spirit of unbelief, that God has maybe convicted them, God has showed them, and they want to take the shackles of unbelief off, you come and pray for that right now, that we might not limit God any longer. Can we get an amen? We not limit God any longer. God is in control, and He's beautiful, and He's powerful. And our daddy has big muscles.